Oh my God, Ronnie.
White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch. I do not sniff it to roll it.
Nope.
It do not drip when I pull it.
Nope.
I do not run, I reload it.
Nope.
I do not save it, I throw it. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch. Please stop, please stop, please stop, please stop.
Stop that shit.
That fit look like you bought it at a Kia.
Come on,
sell though. And they got a nerve to ask why she
has. Wow.
Why you counting all that money that we got? I ain't worried about no basic bitches. All y'all look like you still fly spirit. All y'all must not have looked in the mirror. All y'all looking but the windows tinted like.
Hi, bitch.
I don't know what made I hate this. Play if you want, but you know I ain't playing like. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch. I do not sniff it to roll it.
Nope.
It do not drip when I pull it.
Nope.
I do not run, I reload it.
Nope.
I do not save it, I throw it. White J's, white Porsche, white wrist, white horse. Hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch, hi bitch.
Grown as hell and you still. Look at you and thank God I made it, like. Hi, bitch. Hi, bitch.
Verbose.xyz. We are rocking again for the 32nd time. And it's hot. Post-9/11 world for the 18th time. I'm hanging out with my boy Crafter, a.k.a. my dick run hot, a.k.a. Black Jesus, a.k.a. 2-for-1 at RB Special. How you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah, I'm back at it. Number 3-2. I guess is this the Magic Johnson episode or the Shaq episode? Does it have AIDS or is it just really big?
I think it has AIDS and is really big.
Really big.
I think AIDS. That's like par for the course, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to Boozy out there in TV watching land. Shout out to anybody checking us out tonight.
What up?
It's all about the big ass AIDS. And we're killing it tonight here with all our friends. And I'm excited. We played a song for the first time we haven't played forever. That was Bad Baby, a.k.a. Daniel Bregoli. I think a lot of you out there in fucking internet land love her and or hate her. I would say I'm in the and or department.
And or, huh?
Yeah, I mean, her music is so ignorant. It's like got all the right noises, you know, that make you like bring that primal fucking urban feel, you know.
Yeah,
I'm about it.
I would go out on a limb here and say she is a talentless, dumb bitch.
Truly, truly. But can you really get the crispness of the ignorance and the real feel of like being a trash human being without putting one in the driver's seat, you know?
Yeah, and almost like the real definition of cultural appropriation.
Well, yeah. Who's the other bitch too that was around the same time? And they kind of feuded, and she said that she was black.
Oh shit!
Yeah, there was another dude.
They're fucking multiplying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was another. I can't fucking remember her name, but she was like this skinny ass bitch with big ass bug eyes. And the difference between, and this is the crazy difference between Daniel Bregoli and this bitch I'm talking about, which I can't remember. Is that the bitch that I can't remember had even less talent than Daniel Bregoli.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah. It is possible out there.
But that's kind of like, you know, that's rap music today. You know, it's selling, you know, a certain brand of ignorance, you know, that you know, they want, even though it's some guy with millions of dollars, you know, wearing chains, he wants to tell you that, you know, like robbing things and being greedy and a piece of shit is the way to go.
Interestingly enough, do you think that most of these rappers lead a life like that, especially 2019?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of them are like on credit flexing, you know? I mean, you don't make that much from fucking album sales. Unless you're a big name that, you know, is able to negotiate your contract better. But you're probably in debt from fucking trying to press CDs that don't sell.
I don't know. I feel like the successful rappers realize it wasn't in the game and then they reinvested, you know? Take, for example, 50 Cent.
Or Tour Forever, you know, merchandise.
Yeah, or Tour Forever, man. Tour Forever. I don't know, though. Fuck. Bushwick Bill, I guess, did it. God rest his soul. Yeah, he was fucking doing Coachellas until he was in his 50s, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Crack's an expensive habit.
Crack is an expensive habit, yeah. Indeed. And short-lasting, you know. Gotta stick with that fucking, that Trump dust.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You know what that Trump dust is?
Oh, so that Trump dust, what's that?
That's that Adderall, bro.
Oh, shit. You know I want some of that. Fucking, if Trump was chilling with you right now and he offered you, like, hey, guy, take one of these bumps of Adderall. It's the greatest. It'll feel better than you ever have before. Trust me. Number one. Would you do that shit?
100%. But I'll tell you one thing I would not do is share a dollar bill with that asshole. But most definitely, fucking president offers you any drugs, you do them.
Yeah. You know? Like the Harold and Kumar Guantanamo is like, smoke my weed. Like,
yeah, exactly. Fucking smoking weed with George W.
It doesn't really matter your opinion of George W. Bush. If he's rolling one up, you better be smoking that shit, right?
Yeah, exactly, dude. We got, what is the Necroturch hitting us up in chat? Play Uppercuts by Tara Reid. Do you know that song?
What? Like pepperoni nipple Tara Reid? Like in Van Wilder, like the actress with the really raspy voice?
Terror?
Oh, Terror. Terror.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Like Terror Squad. Fat Joe. Big Pun. DJ Khaled. Yeah.
DJ Khaled! I'm feeling so cold. Fucking Drake, man. Fucking Drake. It's just like we're surrounded by a bunch of hype men that are trying to get us stoked about something that never happens. And people buy into that feeling, you know?
Yeah, we used that song Money to the Grave a couple, you know, episodes ago. But like, I still like hear it on the radio all the time. And I still get disturbed by the lyrics. Like, I'm going to tat the realist on my face. Like, do it. You know, like, well, don't fucking brag about something you're not actually going to do. What the fuck? Fake ass. Fake flexing motherfucker.
Fake flexing motherfucker.
And when he shows up with a realist tattoo on his forehead, like, you know, Drake's one down motherfucker. But don't try to act. Keep saying that line, but don't do it. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Fuck no. Yeah, I don't know. I see interviews, like, I saw the Nardwar interview with Drake, and it makes me feel like Drake is just, like, a sweet, sweet man, you know? He's just nice. That one, and then the fucking, what's that video? She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. She only love my bed and my mama. I'm sorry. God's plan. That shit. Fucking, you watch the video of him going out in the street and, like, handing money over to fucking people, you know what I mean? I feel like that's the real Drake. Drake doesn't want to be caught up in the gang shit. He just wants to, like, fucking be a nice guy, you know? He only fucking says the things because he gets paid by special interest.
Who's the special interest?
Pharmaceutical industry, mostly.
What about, like, the people, like, he started with, like, Lil Wayne and Baby?
They're pushing the same fucking agenda.
Do you think, like Lil Wayne's stories of, like, selling crack at 15 years old was a lie? Or
no, I don't necessarily think that's a lie. I think that he was caught up in things.
But like,
I feel like he was like passed around and like gang raped and shit.
I mean,
that's how he first became gay.
I mean, that guy's fucking face looks fucked up. Look, motherfucker, look like a gremlin. Shouldn't have.
Especially with his teeth, man. Yeah, he looks like that shit got wet and got fed after midnight.
Yeah, you fucking fed that dude after midnight. Got fucked up. Good God.
Right.
But wow.
That's those, you know, when people make those conspiracy theory videos about how hip hop and things are involved in Illuminati, I feel like that's the first thing they gravitate to is they look at fucking Lil Wayne. He does kind of look demonic, you know, with his teeth, facial features and things like that. He looks like a straight up gremlin, dude.
And maybe that explains his like severe like codeine addiction. He's like, 'cause he has to numb himself out from, well, you know, what have I done? Who have I joined? I just don't want to think about it. You know, give me more codeine now.
How many dicks have I sucked to get to this point? Give me more codeine now.
Yeah, like I can't feel it when it's throbbing in my asshole if I'm fucking, you know, codeined out of my mind.
Exactly.
Faggot ass fucking. Now we're probably gonna get murdered for this.
Rick Ross dick taking motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, no, he went away from Baby and shit, who's supposedly like a real gangster. You know, I don't know.
Interesting. Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah. But that's where, you know, Drake came from. He was signed by them. I mean, well, he started as a child star and then all that shit. But do you think he's an Illuminati? You know, that Moloch owl? I mean, a lot of people say Jay-Z, too, you know, with his symbolism. But, you know.
He seems brainwashed, too, man. You ever see him in interviews? It's just, like, not much there, you know? Like
Now like he's growing out his hair, and he's becoming very concerned with, like, African culture and, like, the history of Black Americans. And, like, now he's getting involved with the NFL. It's really weird.
Involved with the NFL?
Yeah, like, he might be buying a team.
Huh. Interesting.
Or what's partial the owner of a team. Not, like, full.
Okay, owner. I see you. Is he hitting up those Vegas Raiders?
Maybe.
Interesting. Well, we got a great show for you guys tonight. Tons of clips tonight. Again, I say we are in a post-9/11 world for the 18th time. The world keeps turning, the news cycle keeps turning, but I think it's important when we start to bring out these clips to kind of show you like a hodgepodge of what's going on and fucking really kind of tune in to what and read in between the lines. I want to make sure that it's impartial. So we ran the gamut tonight. Okay. We're talking MSNBC. We're talking CNN. We're talking Fox News, American One News Network. Time Magazine. We're pulling out all the stops. We're making sure that all sides are represented, and we give them all shit because they all deserve it. Since we started on kind of this hip hop train of thought, did you know that 50 Cent is a successful businessman?
Which way?
Like, as far as investing money into companies that he was able to take that capital and create other businesses.
You mean Vitamin Water?
Vitamin Water being one of those, yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't include his bankruptcy, but after that, for millions of dollars.
Really? Hold up. No way. Okay, let me play this clip first. This is MSNBC with 50 Cent, and they're talking about Donald Trump and Mueller. I think it's about an 8-5 minute clip. I haven't vetted the whole thing, but it's very interesting to hear 50 Cent come from like a semi-professional angle. Here we go.
Here's one thing we know about some of Donald Trump's closest advisors. They have mixed business, politics, and crime to create great wealth and greater risk. So you can't grasp this area without understanding those forces
and how he's hung out with Trump before.
Applies the laws of power. So tonight, we turn to an expert in the game, Grammy Award-winning hip-hop artist and businessman 50 Cent, who's rapped that friends can call him by his government name, Curtis Jackson.
He's sold what up, Curtis Jackson? Albums,
working with artists like Eminem, Dr. Dre. His hit, Into Club, was number one on Billboard's Hot 100 for over 2 months. It made Rolling Stone's list of the greatest songs of all time across all genres. He is a producer and an actor in the hit Starz show Power. He's also starring in the movie Den of Thieves with Gerard Butler. Now, Jackson grew up in Queens, surviving a 9-shot gun attack, and took on the music industry itself with early controversial songs like Ghetto Quran and How to Rob, a fearlessness that clearly paid off, which he explores in The 50th Law, a book he co-wrote with Robert Greene. It all made him rich, and he's established deals in recording, book publishing, energy drinks, a champagne that retails for over $300. And Jackson made an estimated $50 million or more when his Vitamin Water stake was sold to Coke in 2007. Forbes has named him one of the top 5 wealthiest artists in hip-hop. 50 Cent, so excited to have you here.
Oh, man, happy to be here, Ari.
You know business, you know politics, you know power, and you know Donald Trump a little bit. You even had him on your G-Unit radio show in 2005. Let's look at that.
All right, 50, that's we got Donald voice. Trump here.
I hear you on there with the big man.
How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm fine.
Well, you know, I have some kids, and myself included, but I have kids. They think you are the best, the absolute
best. Kids are like 12 listening to
That's
fucking...
That's pretty cool, I'll tell you. My little
listen to fucking 50 Cent.
My son, Eric, these people, they just love your... They love your music.
Wow.
They love your people's music.
You better keep making it.
Keep liking the little music.
A lot of laughs back then. What's changed?
Wow, I mean, a lot's changed. You know, I didn't know the... He shared the views that he kind of showed people over the period that he's been the president. I did learn from his behaviors that
it looks like 50 Cent took a side.
Personalized things.
Personalized.
He will take it personal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm thinking about that book I mentioned by Robert Greene, and he describes you in it. He says 50 Cent's lack of fear is displayed by his attitude and his actions. He lived through too many dangerous encounters to be remotely fazed by anything in the corporate world.
Right.
And he wrote that you'd walk away and not care. And I want to ask you about that, because that really overlaps with some of your analysis about Donald Trump being an accidental president and not fearing anything when he was a candidate. Take a look.
His presidency is an accident. If you were a president by accident, you might do some of the things Donald Trump is doing. I think he was doing that to build his profile for a bigger deal on television and everything else.
How did you come to that view? Because a lot of people agree with that, and that's kind of scary if that's the reason he became president.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise to him when he actually won. You know, because he said things that were really graphic in the campaign. Just generally, people were into the idea of someone who's a non-politician.
Now, people know you for your art and I think for your business. They may not know that, like the rest of us, you've been following the news in the Trump era. I want to show a little bit of something people may not have seen that you posted to your followers on the internet.
Right.
When the news first broke that Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer's home and office, was raided, you had no doubt what was going to happen next. Let's take a look at this.
He's going to snap. He's going to tell all of it. Michael liked Trump, but he don't like him enough to go through that time for him. He ain't from the neighborhood.
You were proven right because he did flip. Why is it that you were so sure he would flip?
Well, I know the federal guidelines are the same no matter where you are.
Okay.
And Michael is still a straight-laced guy, still an attorney, and can't bear that kind of pressure.
Can't bear the pressure. You mentioned the federal guidelines. That's something people talk about in the street.
Yeah.
It's something lawyers talk about. A lot of people may not know this, so I'm going to quote 50 to 50, if that's okay. In one of your older songs, I'm a Hustler, you said, when the feds come in the game, loyalty's limited. With the feds, you do 85% of your time. Duke, you get 10, you'll damn near do 9. And this is from the federal guidelines themselves that you're quoting. All federal prisoners must spend a minimum of 85% of their sentences behind bars before becoming eligible for release.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like I'm telling the truth because I'm using the slang and the hip-hop energy there, but it's a fact. He's going to tell them more than they need to know. He's going to tell them everything. Like, okay, is that enough? Keep going. So they have to make some adjustments. You know, it's definitely not over.
I want to ask you about guns, because, you know, this is very controversial. Let's start again with your lyrics. From High All the Time, which is an interesting song, you say, look, you don't want me to be your kid's role model. I'll teach him how to buck them 380s and load up them hollows. In Power of the Dollar, another classic, you said, look, parents warn their kids about people like me. And you have that persona. But anyone watching this now sees you here as a very professional, successful businessman at this point in your life, but you still post online a lot. You say, get the strap,
right.
Talking about these guns.
I mean, I don't deny
that the kids who look up to you so much might get the wrong impression about that. Do you think you're supporting gun use?
I think people
he's a decently educated person, or
you say
above average IQ, I guess would be a better way to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, they understand the difference between entertainment.
A successful businessman, I guess that's yet to be seen. Because he went into bankruptcy.
I wouldn't be as successful as I've been to this point if I was living exactly the way the lyrics.
So when you say get the strap, does that mean go get a gun and kill someone?
Well, actually, when I originally started using the catchphrase, it's like, whenever I seen something shocking, I would say, get the strap. Like, what do you do when this happens? Like, when there's nothing else, because when there's a point of confusion in the environment that I grew up in, there's points where there's nothing left to do but get this rap.
A couple other lines I want to ask you about.
Bullshit.
This is one of yours. You said, here's a jewel. Love your enemies.
Oh, it was just insane. It wasn't about a gun
your
at all.
Enemies remain the same. Friends always change. What does that mean?
That means, you know, like the... When a person becomes an enemy of yours, it's notably someone that you have differences with. They stay in the same position. You keep your distance from them, you watch them, and they stay the same. The friends, the people that you allow closer to you, they have the ability to have the seeds that don't require water to grow.
Mm-hmm.
of entitlement. So you may do some things for them, but it may never be enough.
Another lyric from one of your softer songs, 21 Questions, which is a great karaoke song because it's got a slow beat. Oh my
fuck. This is MSNBC, by the way, guys.
Would you poof and
disappear?
This is such
crap.
What does that mean?
Would you disappear if I fell off or if I had a setback? Would you disappear like some of my friends?
So if you stay on top, how do you ever know who those people are?
Time will show you. You know, some of these
people. Oh my God, this is so profound.
You know I'm a big fan, 50 Cent. I appreciate you coming on the beat.
Oh, man, I love seeing you, man. Every time
I
see you.
Man,
we stop immediately because we know something's going to be said that's cooler than usual.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot. Hey, I'm Ari Melber from...
Yeah, shut the fuck up. That's MSNBC, y'all. Fucking 2018, fucking... What does 50 Cent think about the president? It said that the clip... claims that 50 Cent goes into Mueller, but I don't think he said a single thing about Mueller. Do you?
No, I didn't hear anything about Mueller at all. He was just talking about Trump and, you know, how just crazy he is about his, you know, personal feelings.
And how about that shrewd analysis of 50 Cent lyrics for our, you know, philosophy and continuation of, you know, social thought? I mean, really, really thought-provoking.
And, right. And I instantly got the feeling, if you ever watched Dave Chappelle, For What It's Worth, it's stand up from 2004, 15 years ago, you know, it talks about 9/11 and stuff. And it's like, and they talk about Ja Rule, you know, like they interview Ja Rule. What does Ja Rule think about this? You know, like, why the fuck are they interviewing 50 fucking Cent about fucking Donald Trump? Why? What kind of news is that?
That's funny that you say that. I found a clip from MSNBC as well. That was 2017-ish, and it talks about how Dave Chappelle was kind of a plant from the from NBC Corporation, because the dude who ran the show over there felt like Trump was going to win, so they pushed a little bit of propaganda. It's interesting how they talk about this. Let me cue this one up here, because it, and I think it's pertinent because you know, we have the current Dave Chappelle stand-up that just came out. And it's really kind of going back to the roots of, like, fuck y'all, you know, softy motherfuckers who can't take a joke, you know, like, let's bring comedy back. This is what it kind of feels like to me. And this kind of seems like the precursor to it. Anyways, without further ado, from MSNBC, Dave Chappelle to Trump supporters: he's fighting for me, not you.
2017 is the year when a joke became our political reality. A man who once served as the literal punchline of a president's joke about how hard it is to run the country, that man won the presidency in a scene that left many Americans in a daze, including the comedians who tuck us in at night.
What happened last night? I went to bed early. I did have the strangest dream, though.
That dream continues, and tonight on The Beat, we have some of the best moments from comedians this year. And fitting the Trump era, they are not all funny, because several comics broke from the tradition of late-night neutrality to take sides, using their influence to challenge Trump's legitimacy.
Very interesting point to
We take. Have to accept that Donald Trump
from the left.
Will be the 45th
the most
president
crazy
of the United States.
Bullshit I've heard on a news station.
No. I just want to keep saying it until I can say it without throwing up in my mouth a little bit.
What we did was the Democratic equivalent of installing an above-ground pool. Even if we're lucky and it doesn't seep into our foundations, the neighbors will never look at us the same way again.
Those reactions are from the nights right after the election. Over the coming days, American culture convulsed over how to handle a President Trump. One of the most influential comedy shows, Saturday Night Live, was writing up its first episode since the election. The host, Dave Chappelle, a comic famous for his incisive takes on race and class, and an apt choice for a national address on that new Trump presidency. That choice may have been no accident, which was not publicly known at the time. But in a new NPR interview, Chappelle says SNL boss Lorne Michaels thought Trump would win, and so he adamantly wanted Chappelle to be SNL's voice in response just four nights after the election.
Lorne Michaels put a heavy pitch on me, and I ended up doing it. I was pretty sure Trump was going to win. In hindsight, I imagine that Lorne knew that Trump was going to win because he was real adamant about me doing the first slot after the election.
Chappelle details how his Rachel Maddow and Brian Williams anchored election coverage on the third floor of Rockefeller Plaza. He sat with SNL writers on the eighth floor of the same building. And as those states were called on the iconic Rockefeller ice rink, the mood shifted.
And they were doing this thing where they were calling the states on the ice at Rockefeller. So every few minutes you'd hear, hooray, or oh. And as the night went on, there was a lot of like, oh, 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 no. And then,
what the?
And then everyone stopped writing.
And then Chappelle recounts a contrast that ultimately became a skit that Saturday, how some progressives were surprised by Trump's win.
And then everyone was just staring at the television. And then it was like sobbing. As a black American, how emotional do you get about the political landscape? There wasn't Obama in this cycle, you know. It was just a battle, you know. I almost said it. I shouldn't say it, but you know, it was like a battle of the whites.
Yeah.
And that night, Chappelle walked out on stage, evincing the double consciousness that W.E.B. Du Bois outlined all the way back in 1903, living the experience of a minority and the consciousness of the white majority, what Du Bois called constantly looking at oneself through the eyes of others. Over a year later, his monologue passes the test of time because when you watch it now, you see it's not only about red and blue. It's about a society so divided we often don't see the same reality. And Chappelle didn't focus on the obvious attack on Trump. He began by roasting people who were so surprised America elected Trump.
The whites were furious. We've never seen anything like it. I haven't seen white people this mad since the O.J. verdict. There was a split screen with white people on both sides. I watched a white riot in Portland, Oregon on television the other night. News said they did $1 million worth of damage. Every black person was watching that like amateurs.
Then Chappelle turned to Trump's supporters.
You know, I didn't know that Donald Trump was going to win the election. I did suspect it. Seemed like Hillary was doing well in the polls, and yet I know the whites. America's done it. We've actually elected an internet troll as our president.
That's awesome. Fucking, it kind of is true. Like, we kind of have an internet troll. We have like a meme as a president. But I think also the other thing that he touches off on that's super important is that the reason Trump got elected is because people didn't come out. Like, he says it himself. It was like a war, you know, this is the you know, war on the whites. A war. It's the battle of the whites, right? That you don't got a dog in the fight. It's like, fuck it, you know. But that's a large, you know, that's one. I think the second largest, close to first largest minority in the United States, Hispanics being the largest. You know, it's a large voter turnout to miss out on. And I feel like that's what the Democratic Party is always like urging for. But at the same token, we're so deeply rooted in our side, our clan, our clique, that the left and right paradigm falls apart based on, you know, what we're taught culturally.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of broken. It's like them even, you know, selecting Hillary, and while all these social issues and you know, unrest were happening already, kind of building, it's kind of weird. Like with Black Lives Matter movement, they still chose to put Hillary up. When that was like a large section of their base, you know, they put Hillary up. It seems like, you know, like sticking to the status quo or sticking to the people in power is kind of what's been going on, and it doesn't really matter about, you know, the outcries of the population.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to, but.
But it is interesting. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It is interesting, you know, that with this whole Dave Chappelle, you know, kind of being used to, you know, like calm the masses, you know, like in for the left, and that's, and who knows if Dave Chappelle is really in on it or just aware of it and using it for publicity. But I would say definitely executives, maybe even like you said, Lorne Michaels, is well aware of what they're attempting to do.
I'd say so. I'd say it's co-opted all the way, you know, all the way up the chain, up the food chain. God. And what's going on now, right now with Trump is what really kind of concerns me. The whole deal with Saudi Arabia being attacked by Iran. Iran seems like has been in the works since, you know, since we went to Iraq. And I thought it would, the page was going to turn with Obama, but it never happened. Just drone strikes that kept being targeted in Afghanistan. So I don't know. It's been a long time coming, and it doesn't put me past it. Part of me is torn in the situation, right? Because like Trump seems like he's trying to avoid war in a lot of ways. You know, I don't know whether John Bolton resigned or he's fired. It seems like a common thing of this presidency to be like, oh, I fired him. You know, it seems like that New York businessman attitude. He didn't quit. I fired him kind of thing. So I don't know what's happening there, but John Bolton is no longer the Secretary of Defense, which I think is a very good thing.
And he had a lot harsher stance on Iran. So, I mean, that would, if the same event happened, you know, a week ago, we probably would already be at war.
True. But at the same token, you put crippling sanctions on Iran, on a very proud country like that. Don't you think you're just kind of like pushing buttons in general?
Especially like the whole reason you're trying to put sanctions on them is because you don't want them to have nuclear weapons. You're scared of having them nuclear, but like Saudi Arabia does. You know,
well,
Israel does.
Do they now?
Okay, maybe Saudi Arabia doesn't, but they probably have bought some black market or at least have the ability to develop.
And we've definitely been, you know, Trump administration has definitely been talking with them about sharing that technology.
Yeah, Trump administration, even without authorization of Congress, has been talking about sharing nuclear technology with them. So obviously, that's not such a big deal. So why is it such a big deal with a neighbor? Why is it, when you already know, like, China has nukes, Pakistan has nukes, you know, India, Israel has undeclared nukes, you know, why do you feel like this is the number one thing to hold over someone's head? Like, we have, you know, thousands upon thousands of nuclear weapons.
Here's a clip of from Fox News. We're going a little bit towards the right here, but I think it very plainly lays out what's going on and display, you know, and has Trump talking about his ideas of what sanctions on Iran mean. So let's cue this clip up real quick. This one is Trump orders new Iran sanctions after Saudi Arabia oil attack.
An act of war. Those are the words of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo speaking about what he called Iran's attack on a Saudi oil
of
facility.
Of course, Pompeo
President
says
Trump
it's an act of war.
Is ordering new sanctions on Iran as his top diplomat, Secretary Pompeo, continues to meet throughout the region. Correspondent Benjamin Hall reports tonight from our Middle East newsroom.
The pressure on Iran is mounting. Today, Saudi Arabia laid out evidence they say proved Iran was behind the attacks, displaying cruise missiles and drones they claim were used. Shortly afterwards, Secretary Pompeo flew to Jeddah to discuss the next steps with the Crown Prince, while U.S. investigators collected evidence on the ground at the attack sites. He accused Iran of acts of terrorism and war and risking the global energy supply.
There were blasted, there were no Americans killed in this attack, but any time you have an act of war of this nature, there's always risk that that could happen.
In the U.S., President Trump has also ramped up the pressure, saying he had instructed the Treasury to substantially increase sanctions on Iran and warning of further action.
There's the ultimate option, and their options are a lot less than that.
Saudi Arabia's defense minister said 18 drones and 7 cruise missiles were fired from the north, though they were still working to discover the exact launch point, and he called on allies to back them against the threat.
Iran's continued aggression, sponsorship of terrorist groups, and interference in maritime commerce represent a common threat to us all.
The Iranians continue to deny involvement, saying the Yemeni Houthi rebels were defending themselves and that they don't want war, but adding they would retaliate to any attack.
It was Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, America, certain European countries, and the Zionist regime which started the war in this region.
Saudi Arabia says 50% of the oil production cut by the attack has now been restored, calming the markets and easing fears that emergency reserves need to be used. But few believe the threat has gone.
The fact that Iran was able to bypass billions of dollars of Saudi Arabian air defenses and strike seemingly at ease at the largest oil facility in the world, well, that is now the grave concern. And certainly Saudi Arabia and the U.S. will be discussing ways of bolstering those defenses. But other ways in which Saudi and the U.S. can respond, well, they remain to be seen.
So, one thing that really struck me about this the first time I listened to it was how the U.S. is very involved in the investigation of the rubble and the actual parts of the drone and missiles that were used to attack the oil rig, especially in a post 9/11, 18 years later.
And isn't it just a little curious that all of a sudden that, you know, like the major terrorist funding, Wahhabism spreading, you know, extremism, you know, the support terrorism, suicide bombings. I mean, this is part of this grew from Saudi Arabia. Bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. They're a Sunni, Arab country. All of ISIS, all of Al-Qaeda, it's all Sunni Arab. And then there's one country in the world that's majority Shia Arab, or Shia Muslim, the opposite of them, who believe a different follower inherited after Muhammad. And the one country is Iran, the one country that is separate from that other Islam, the one country that does not fund ISIS, does not fund Al-Qaeda. Their terrorist groups are things like Hezbollah and other rebel groups like in Yemen, the Houthi rebels and stuff. And these people, you know, show up with missiles on trucks, in uniform, you know, with large sidearms. They're not, you know, like, it's not the same. It's almost like a military, a very underfunded, not modern military, but, you know, with, you know, the weapons they can afford to get. Like when you see Hezbollah and how they defend with marked outposts, you know, on the border of Israel, and then Israel calls them a terrorist group. How can it be both? How can you be advertising your presence but be a terrorist group? Isn't that a military?
Right, exactly. I think that it depends on what side of history you're on, how you define it, you know, and what makes it palatable to your population to accept the fact that you're killing another.
Yeah, and there's, a big group of Muslims who directly, disagree with Saudi Arabia, disagree with ISIS, disagree with Pakistan, disagree with all most of the Muslims in the world, and some reason all the other Muslim countries agree that they're terrorists and that we have to do something about it. Like, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
When America does drone strikes in other countries without, any warning or anything, and we shoot people, we call it a military action. Why, if Iran does the same thing, is it considered a terrorist attack?
They're on the wrong side of the war. You know what I mean? It's like we have our trifecta. It's Saudi Arabia, America, and Israel. These represent the countries that represent the major religions that will then bring on the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's already decided.
It seems
Palestine, fuck you, and then the rest of the Arab world also fuck you.
Yeah, but it seems like Saudi Arabia is just trying to get America to finish their religious war and go against their religious rivals.
That seems kind of cowardly to me. Interesting. Well, what do you think Tulsi Gabbard would say about all this?
I mean, she would probably be not for it at all. We have provided lots of military support to Saudi Arabia. There's no reason for us to send troops there, that we should maintain defensive positions and maintain our bases. But, you know, if it's a war in between Saudi Arabia and Iran, that's something we should let Saudi and Arabia and Iran fight.
Word up. Well, let's hear it directly from the sexy horse's mouth, I slut herself.
Am I right? That was my pure prediction.
I bet you're close to the mark. A lot of what she said in the beginning of this monologue definitely hits on point. This one, I believe, is about 8 minutes as well, and she goes into it, and I think we'll find out. You want to bet $2 on it or something? I think you're right, though. I think that you're absolutely on point. And again, what's interesting about this clip, it's off of Fox News, right? Fox News has a little bit of a moderate streak going, even if you look at the populist jargon and propaganda of Tucker Carlson. Love him. Love the way he speaks.
At least he's not bad-mouthing Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the right loves Dave Chappelle. Currently. Anyways, this is from Fox News. Trump orders a new Iran sanctions after... Oh, wait, wrong fucking clip. I almost fucked the world. This is actually called I Slept Gabbard. Trump response to Saudi Arabia oil strike is a disgrace. That's what we play in now. And here we go.
All right, the president has already ordered increased sanctions following that attack that the Iranians were now apparently behind, at least our intelligence says that, on Saudi Arabia. Democratic presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard, though, wonders whether the president is doing our country's bidding or Saudi Arabia's. It's hard to say. Congressman, very good to have you.
Thanks, Neil. It's good to see you.
What surprised folks is the degree to which you hammered that charge at the president, which you said you are not our pimp. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, tell him.
Well, let's just make sure that we're on the same page here and recognize the context of what I was responding to that the president tweeted out. And I just want to read you what he said in that tweet, saying that, quote, we're waiting to hear from the kingdom as to who they believe was the cause of this attack and under what terms we would proceed. Look, Neil, I'm a soldier, and I took an oath as a soldier as well as a member of Congress to support and defend our Constitution of the United States, to serve the American people. And it's a huge disgrace to hear our commander-in-chief basically put us in a position, put us, the American people, our men and women in uniform, our military assets, in a position where we are servants of the Saudi kingdom, standing by and awaiting their orders on how we should proceed. This is an outrageous giving away of our sovereignty.
I understand what you're saying, but was he saying that as much as, you know, they're looking into this, they're not marching orders here, they're saying, they're trying to ascertain who was behind that attack, and that is what I think he was waiting on.
Well, if Trump didn't mean what he said when he tweeted that out, that, you know, we've got to see under what terms we would proceed, then he needs to clarify what he said and actually say what he meant. He's the president of the United States. He's the commander-in-chief of the strongest military in the world, and I think he really needs to be clear. So far, and this was said a couple of days ago,
right,
he has not issued any kind of clarification, and so all we can presume is that he said what he meant in that tweet.
All right. He has not responded to your allegations or even tweeted a response, but what you did say is, I've never engaged in hateful rhetoric against you or your family, never will, but your offering our military assets to the dictator of Saudi Arabia to use as he sees fit is a betrayal of my brother and sisters in uniform who are ready to give our lives for our country, not the Islamist dictator of Saudi Arabia. The question I have for you then, Congresswoman, if you become president of the United States, and Saudi Arabia were attacked like it was here, and apparently by Iran, would you not intervene?
I would do what's in the best interest of our country. And as a soldier, I see these things very clearly, seeing what is our goal, what is our objective. And as it relates to Iran, we have two primary objectives. Number one is to make sure that Iran is no longer moving forward towards increasing and building their nuclear weapons capability, as they currently are, since the Iran nuclear deal was torn up. And number two, to prevent, you know, this all-out shooting war with Iran that it appears we are headed towards. This is important for two reasons. Number one is, obviously, we've got to make sure we're keeping the American people safe, keep that at the forefront. And we can accomplish these objectives by understanding and realizing that the current strategy has failed. It's not helping us achieve that objective, and therefore we need to re-enter the Iran nuclear agreement and get rid of these crippling economic sanctions that are continuing to escalate this war against Iran.
Well, Iran has been doing this kind of stuff with or without sanctions, right? With or without a deal, right? So it doesn't seem to matter the occasion
that's actually
or the
not
deal,
true.
Right? They're provocative
while the Iran,
behavior
while
in the Strait of Hormuz and elsewhere.
Deal,
right?
While the Iran nuclear deal was in place, Iran was found to be in compliance, both by our own intelligence agencies, the IAEA, other countries' intelligence agencies. They were complying with that deal, and it was making it so that they were not moving forward towards building a nuclear weapon. Now that that deal has been thrown in the trash, Iran is continuing to move forward.
Well, the nuclear deal notwithstanding, they have always been provocative, right? So I guess what I would ask you, would you as president then ignore that provocation, deal or no deal? Would you work on behalf with the Saudis? Do you like the Saudis more or less than Iran? What?
It's not about who you like or who you don't like. It's just about, once again, focusing on our objective of keeping the American people safe. What has just happened and transpired over the last few days here didn't just pop up out of nowhere. So we can't look at this in isolation away from what has been happening over the last several months that really was kicked off by President Trump walking away from and throwing that nuclear deal in the trash, increasing crippling economic sanctions that are really hurting the people of Iran most of all, designating their military as a terrorist organization, deploying more of our troops to the region. So there's a number of things that have pushed us all, the world, to this point where we are today.
So let me ask you, do you recognize Mohammed bin Salman as the leader of Saudi Arabia? Now, I know he was behind, a lot of signals point that he was behind the killing of that Washington Post journalist a little over a year ago. But he is still in charge. And others have said you can't pick and choose your leaders of countries you might not like. It is what it is. Would you talk to him? Would you deal with him? Would you, on an attack like this, do something in concert with him?
I think it's important under these and other circumstances to be ready and to have the willingness to talk to leaders of other countries. And yes, I would meet with the leader of Saudi Arabia, as I would meet with the leader of Iran to de-escalate these tensions. And once again, keeping at the forefront, what is in the best interest of the United States? And how can we best accomplish that objective, which is keeping the American people safe, doing what's in the best interest of our national security? And by pursuing these diplomatic measures, we have the opportunity to then prevent that worst-case scenario, which is an all-out shooting conflict war that would cause a devastating cost to the American people, to our troops, countless lives, trillions more dollars, what to speak of the impact and the devastation that would be caused around the region and the world.
All right, so the interpretation I have is that you want to bring back that Iran deal and move back to that, but it does give a signal here that you're no fan of the Saudi leadership, and many are not, I get that, but more of a fan of the leadership in Iran.
No, I'm a fan of the United States of America. I'm a fan of the American people, and as president and commander-in-chief, I would put their interests above all
else. Is it in our interest for
Saudi
Arabia? Is it in our interest for Saudi Arabia to be protected, or its kingdom to be protected, or do you draw a distinction?
Well, let me tell you what is not in our interest is this alliance that has been longstanding between the United States and Saudi Arabia, in spite of the fact that they are directly and indirectly supporting al-Qaeda, the terrorist group that attacked us on 9/11. We just observed the 18th anniversary of that terrible attack on our country in 2001. They are continuing to spend billions of dollars every year propagating this extremist Wahhabi ideology that's fueling the growth of terrorist groups like al-Qaeda and ISIS and others around the world. They are directly supporting those who pose a threat to our country and to the United States, that threat that we need to defeat.
Is that threat greater than Iran?
Yes, it is.
So Saudi Arabia is more of a problem for us than Iran.
Currently, Iran does not pose a direct threat to the United States. We have the opportunity to make sure that we prevent Iran from continuing to move forward towards developing a nuclear weapon. That's where we need to be focused. If I were president right now, that's exactly what I'd be doing, getting back into that nuclear deal, getting rid of these crippling economic sanctions, and being able to make sure we can move forward in the interest of our national security.
So a president, Tulsi Gabbard, would see Saudi Arabia as a bigger threat to our country than Iran?
What I would like to see is Saudi Arabia ending their support for al-Qaeda, terrorist groups like al-Qaeda, who pose a threat to the American people.
It's not what I asked.
You're turning my words around.
I want to just be very clear. But you have a higher opinion of Iran than you do Saudi Arabia, as things stand
now. No, that's not at all what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm focused on how we can best keep the American people safe, on how we can make sure that we have our national security intact.
And the Saudis are a bigger threat. The Saudis are a bigger threat to that safety than Iran. I just want to be clear.
The Saudis are directly supporting the very terrorist group that attacked us on 9/11 and that continue to pose a threat to the American people today.
So if the president were to take action against Iran, with or without Saudi intelligence or help, that would be a bad move in your eyes.
That would be a very bad move. It would not serve the interests of the United States. It would cost thousands more of my brothers and sisters in uniform their lives. It would cost us as taxpayers trillions of dollars more. It would make the Iraq war that I served in look like a picnic compared to the cost and the consequence and the devastation that would come about as a result of that war. What to speak of the fact that it would be unconstitutional, given the president would do that without that authority coming from Congress.
What do you think?
I mean, I didn't want to interrupt her because she was pretty much dead on. I mean, I just so wish she'd become president. It's just such the logical way of thinking about things. Like, of course you defend your allies, but you defend your allies when it's appropriate to do so, when it's beneficial for you. You know, like, if they go out there trying to start fucking problems with people, you can't just be fucking jumping in all the time to fucking defend them. You can't be risking your lives to fucking save theirs. It makes no sense to run a country that way.
Yes, she definitely, she's the Democratic candidate to vote for, I think, in a lot of ways. There's just interesting things about her speech. She's definitely like a well-versed politician. It always annoys me when politicians are like, look, you know, look here, Crafter, the way that I lay this out, my plan, you know what I mean? It's this like, you're talking down to me. Kind of, I don't know. It fucking annoys the shit out of me. What do you think about that? Like I feel like Pete Buttigieg has that same kind of like, look here, Cooper. I might have sucked your dick once because you worked for the CIA, but I'm not going to do that anymore because I love Jesus.
It's like the politician ego. Like, you know, I've been doing this a long time, so I know more shit than you could even fucking imagine. You know, you guys are too stupid to handle this shit. You guys are all fucking eating your own boogers out there. Fuck off.
Especially Tulsi Gabbard. She's like, I just got back from a secret meeting from fucking Syria to fucking really see what was going down and expose shit on my own party because that's how much of an American I am. And I feel like she does love America, and I like that in a president. So I would definitely vote for her. I wouldn't. I don't know if I. Could vote for many others. I think I'd vote for Yang too. Fucking the Yang propaganda is strong too, man. Have you ever seen any of it or listened to any of it?
No, I avoid all propaganda.
Why? It's so awesome. Some of my favorite propaganda, InfoWars, guilty pleasure. It's like watching a really good Southern Baptist pastor just going at it. Sweat beating on his forehead, just being real super passionate. You know what I mean? I dig it. It might all be bullshit, but it sounds good. Shout out to the gay frogs out there. You a gay frog, you can come on our show any day.
So moms are my frogs gay.
Buying my vitamins. we kind of plug like Alex Jones. It's all about that fucking... I almost said infowars.com, fucking verbose.xyz. I wonder if we could get banned from YouTube by saying infowars.com.
Probably.
But I don't know, man. Fucking Alex Jones is on a bunch of shit. Like, everybody has him on his show now. You know, he's like the guest to have on, if you're a YouTube podcaster. And that begs the question, Alex Jones, motherfucker, when are you going to come on our show, man? Crafter's got this list of questions he needs to ask you.
Yeah, you fucking weirdo. Hurry up. Hit us up.
Fucking atrazine in the water turned the freaking frogs gay. And all four of you out there, fucking that song started in your head where he starts hitting the paper on the desk. I know it. I know it. But I feel like more cringe-worthy than Alex Jones could ever be would be Anderson Cooper. Have you ever really, like, stared at that guy?
No, he's a CIA plant.
I feel like he's an android or something, man. He looks fucking weird. Anyways, I'll play a little bit of this. I don't want to get too deep into clips because I have another 10-minute clip that I prepared for us tonight because Trump was in our hometown. He was hitting up uh, in Nuevo Mexico. He was here on Monday. I didn't go. I definitely listened to the whole thing. But there's a clip in there that really, like, it's like he knew that the verbose.xyz crew was going to be watching his speech. And we wanted to understand all of his positions on the things that we talk about on the show. I mean, we'll get to that clip, but it's quite beautiful and serendipitous that in all of a 10-minute stream, he goes over everything. And you can truly understand what Trump is about. But before we get to Trump, let's hear what Anderson Cooper has to say about Trump and how he contradicts himself in Iran.
There's breaking news tonight in the attacks on the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. The president today saying it appears that Iran is behind them. He also didn't rule out the possibility of retaliatory strike by the U.S., although it appears that some of the administration are trying to walk back the president's own language. Take, for instance, whether we will attack Iran. The president sounded very warlike in his tweet last night. Quote, Saudi Arabia oil supply was attacked. There's reason to believe that we know the culprit are locked and loaded, depending on verification, but are waiting to hear from the kingdom as to who they believe was the cause of this attack and under what terms we would proceed. Now, obviously, locked and loaded, which is what the president said, is a term we're all familiar with. It references our military posture. It's a direct reference to weaponry. It's pretty clear. But then this morning, things got less clear. Vice President Pence's chief of staff, Mark Short, was asked about the tweet and the term locked and loaded. Here's what he said.
I think that locked and loaded is a broad term that talks about the reality is that we're also far safer and more secure domestically from energy independence.
Isn't that beautiful?
Locked
oh my
and loaded,
God.
He's
the
saying,
double
is a broad
speak
term.
From these fucking asshats.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I could go on with this clip. It's beautiful, but like... Yeah, there. It's just like, I don't know. Two things come up for me. Obviously, like, the doublespeak that exists in politics is grave. And two, like, CNN makes MSNBC seem moderate. Don't you think? Like, it's all about fucking...
Like, sometimes I see some MSNBC stuff that is just, like, crazy far left, like... Like, did Antifa fucking produce this show? What the fuck happened?
I wonder, man. And maybe that's like directly where Antifa takes their fucking their marching orders.
But definitely CNN is fucking CIA owned, CIA and Democrat owned and operated. Every single anchor there has a direct relation to someone in the Democratic Party or someone in the CIA. Every single fucking one.
Wow. That's so fucking weird. It's like the connections in Hollywood, how like, or even sports, like, fuck, dude, you could bring it all the way to professional wrestling, where it's these families of people that are indoctrinated in the craft, in their media, in their brainwashing. The chains that bind us. Fuck. So, should we, how do you want to go? Do you want to go more, do you want to go left field? Do you want to go more right? Do you want to go more left? It's up to you. I got it. What? I got it all covered. I got all angles covered.
On what?
I'll skip the Andrew Yang propaganda, but it's I'll have to share this to you with you privately or anyone that wants to hit me up. It's fucking, it's beautiful. And the sad thing about Andrew Yang is the only thing you ever fucking hear is $1,000.
$1,000.
$1,000.
$1,000.
But he's kind of like for the shitty candidates. That all have like Pete Buttigieg and, you know, fucking Beto O'Rourke. He's actually leading above them. He's at 4% to their 3%.
$1,000.
$1,000. Exactly. So, I mean, I think that's beating a dead horse there. See that I've brought up One American News before, and it's, you know, it seems like center right, mostly focused on national. Political oriented news. But then I came across this tonight while searching for clips, and I thought this was very interesting because we've talked about this in the past, and it's just interesting to see this on like a, you know, a B-roll fucking news outlet, especially in the age of air quotes here, fake news. This is One American News with a clip called New CA Vaccine Laws About Government out overreach. So that kind of sets up the mood. Here we go.
To me, this bill is all about government overreach. Government power in any aspect of my life scares me. Am I wrong about this bill?
I really, it is a lot to delve into, and you and I have discussed this before. It's interesting how this issue even divides conservatives. You know, my brother from another mother and colleague, Ben Shapiro, thinks that this is a public health issue, and it's entirely okay for the government to do this. And then we have other people that are saying, wait a second, if this now, then what? I consider myself, I often joke that I'm a conservative hippie living in L.A., considering I'm the weird person that vaccinates my kids but also has unmedicated home births. And it does, I think the biggest, my biggest problem with this bill is much like a lot of people don't realize that if you have a hospital birth in the state of California, the government is keeping a database of the blood that is drawn at that public hospital of your child. They have their DNA on file. As we saw with the Golden State Killer, this is something that they were able to utilize to catch the guy, but the weird part there is that they didn't really have a warrant to do so. So I think that your point about vaccines and the government looking at your personal medical records is something that is very valid and a concern, considering the state of California has overreached, I think, in other areas of personal privacy as well.
Yeah, almost every other area. I mean, as a conservative living in California, you and I share this view. I'm not sure there's anything we would trust to the California state government. They have absolutely insane laws here. And
proponents of this
bill make the same argument that you mentioned about the public health aspect of this. They talk about the herd immunity that's necessary in our nation, meaning that most children need to be vaccinated if we want to have herd immunity here. And I certainly understand that argument, and I wouldn't disagree that it's an important aspect. But when it comes to government mandating that, I think we as conservatives have to ask ourselves, especially in California, what's the limiting principle here? And if we conservatives are limited government oriented, you know, where could this stop? It seems to me this is the same argument that people on the left make about guns. They say it's a public health issue and everybody should be denied their right to keep and bear arms because some people are harmed by it. And the Democrats deem that to be a justification to take away our rights. I don't think we can allow government to do that.
Yeah, I think that it really is. I think that the slippery slope here is potentially scary, and it is also funny that the people that say that it's allegedly my body, my choice, my child, my choice, are not letting the parent potentially have that choice down the line.
So it was a little bit more moderate than I thought. That's for sure.
It was the weirdest example, though. Like, this is an overreach. If I have my child in a hospital in California, they're going to take its DNA, and they might use that DNA to find out he's a serial killer. I want my kid to be able to be a serial killer if he wants. Like, that's the example that they made. Like, what? Like, can you think of an example where they took someone's DNA and, like, framed them or something? Or at least set up that hypothetical? Not be like, remember when California used it to catch that serial killer who was raping and murdering people? Yeah, I don't want my kid's DNA in that database. Like, what the fuck? Why not? What's wrong with you? It makes no sense.
Like, well, you know, kids these days are, like, looking up to people like Nick Cruz and shit. So,
yeah,
like, you know, you love your kid, you got to love what they do.
A white woman from the suburbs saying, you know what, if my kid does school shooting, I don't want them to get him guilty on DNA. You know, like,
that's my little fallen angel.
Yeah. I mean, she should do something more, you know, like about overreach, like, you know, like the hypothetical that they could use it to build, you know, DNA profiles of people to, you know, like maybe start harvesting organs of people with rare diseases or with rare blood types, or they could use it to frame people for murder because they have a sample of their DNA and they could say that DNA sample was found at a crime scene, or use that to eliminate political opponents. I mean, like, the hypotheticals are out there, but she instantly went to, remember when they caught that serial killer with it? Like, they didn't even have a warrant and they caught that guy. Like,
wow. That I really hate that technology. Yeah,
like fuck you, science, for proving that guy murdered someone, and not the court for fucking issuing a warrant that fucking got him first. Like, fuck you, science. Like,
I am outraged.
And it's just a bad example. I gave a couple examples there, and they didn't even try.
They didn't even try. Yeah, that was that was less rehearsed and verbose. I think that was a follow. Thanks out there in TV watching land. Super appreciate you hitting us up.
Thank you.
There was something I wanted to mention a couple clips ago, and that's the idea of, like, kind of armchair running the world and country via Twitter. It feels like every Fox, it doesn't matter what outfit, you know, everyone's looking at the news and how what's being communicated based on Twitter, and then doing these ciphers of what the president's saying, what these powerful people are saying based on their Twitter accounts. What the fuck happened, man? Why is it that we're using Twitter to kind of like social engineer, like on all levels?
And why do people think they understand 160 characters so well? Like, when you text someone, we already understand that, you know, inflection is hard, sarcasm is hard. You know, like, people outside your group won't understand your inside jokes through texts and stuff. It's very weird. So, like, how can you judge someone on 160 typed characters?
Yeah, I mean, big time, you know. But at the same token,
and they could take Ambien and have to use the N-word, you know, because that shit happens.
Dude, Roseanne, love you. Roseanne, you can also come on the show, and you may say the N-word only 3 times. I think that's a limit that YouTube will let you. And hard R is okay, even for those 3 times?
Yeah, but then I'm going to crucify you for use of it.
Right, right. Because it doesn't matter how you're intending it. The definition, that's what matters.
Definition matters. And listen to Richard Pryor. Listen to Richard Pryor, who said, you know, near the end, after his accident, that he wouldn't use the word, he wouldn't call someone else that word, he didn't appreciate being called that word, because it was an offensive word that is used by people who don't respect themselves or other people. It's not a word that Martin Luther King used. It's not a word that Malcolm X used. And I'm not, you know, a black man, so I can't tell someone not to use this word. that's it. But, like, understand, it comes from a place of insulting language. If you go around calling someone a bitch all day or calling someone a fuckhead all day, you know, like, it's based to insulting language. You know, like, yes, there's the cordial feeling of any word like that. You know, you can call your friends anything. But, you know, when someone outside that group hears it, they just are offended. And in a sensitive, super liberal world, you know, offense means everything. And
that's true. And speaking of the N-word, and in a super liberal world, offense means everything. How about the new Jussie Smollett?
Yeah. Another person self-victimizing and blaming a right wing. It seems like they feel like the Proud Boys and the right wing has not created enough turbulence and violence, so they have to help them out.
And if you don't believe me, it was hard for me to find a clip on YouTube for this, which is funny. And this is just like straight news piece, unbiased, of what happened from Time. This is from Time magazine. It is titled, "Former NFL Player Arrested for Staging Hate Crime at His Business in Georgia." Here we go.
Former NFL player Edon Kaufman has been charged with staging a fake hate crime in Georgia. Gwinnett County Police say Kaufman damaged his own business's property and spray-painted racial slurs, a swastika, and MAGA around the establishment to get insurance money, saying in a statement, quote, "It appears as though Edon conjured a premeditated plan to damage his own property, attempt to make it appear as a hate crime, file a claim with his insurance company, and sell off the undamaged appliances and electronics." Police were notified of a burglary at the Create and Bake restaurant and Kaufman's Creamery, and were told the businesses were also being damaged. The statement says they were notified the suspect drove a black Chevrolet Silverado with no license plate. Authorities found Kaufman in the truck, later learning that he owned the businesses and had reported the damage to his insurance company, but had not called 911. Cans of black spray paint and a yellow crowbar were found in his truck. Kaufman was arrested and charged with false report of a crime, insurance fraud, and concealing a license plate. He has been released on bond.
You fucking kept the spray paint?
Yeah, didn't ditch it at all. Like, didn't just stop by fucking Kmart dumpster and fucking dump it at least or some shit?
Bro, and drove his company vehicle. He just took off the license plate. It's like, you can't identify a vehicle any other way. And this is truly like Jussie Smollett in that the evidence was kept. Like, in the case of Jussie Smollett, they found magazines in his apartment that had letters cut out of them. So in that same way, this, what was it, Edon? Etard? Etard McFoot player?
Some old motherfucker who didn't make enough money and invested his stupid money into fucking Create and Bake Your Own bullshit restaurant.
I mean, yeah, the businesses look cute too. It's just a shame that like he doesn't have that much pride in his shit that he has to fake a hate crime. And the funny thing is, he didn't even fucking call the police. He didn't call the police and report it. He just claimed it on the insurance, you know.
Oh, so it was really just more maybe just an insurance scam. And he's like, you know what?
Yeah.
White people do this shit all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they?
Insurance scams? Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, got him. Yes, they do. Fuck. Well, this has been fun tonight. We went through the gamut of all these clips, and it all crescendos to the ultimate clip. And I prepared this tonight. I put love into this. And I also, for all of you, I watched the entire Trump speech. And that usually isn't a chore, but I've watched so many of them. They kind of are all the same. He goes to a location, he fucking pumps what he's done, and then he sometimes pushes a candidate that's there. He definitely always dogs on the Democratic Party in the area, and then he moves on to the next state.
And he pumps his ego. He always congratulates himself.
Sometimes there's some interesting stories, but most of the time not. You know, I feel like this, you know, the government, the CIA, the Secret Service, all those, you know, FBI, they're probably fucking going crazy as far as clearance is going. Like every time he utters something like, oh, I had this deal with this person, it's like, oh, God, you fucking have clearance. Why are you saying these things? You know what I mean? Anyways, go ahead. I'm sorry. What do you say? Sorry.
I was just laughing.
Okay. Anyways, fucking, I could go on about this because it tickles my fancy, but here's the clip I prepared. I call this, and it's for all of you, cut one, if you will, for all you Brian Kilmeade fans out there, but I call this the perfect NM Trump rally clip. Here we go.
The Democrat Party. Do you notice I always say the Democrat Party? You know? Before I came, they were all calling Democratic because it sounds better, right? It does. It's much nicer. The Democratic Party is much nicer than the Democrat Party. But their name is the Democrat Party. And I'm not looking for them to sound nice. I want to give their name. So I always say the Democrat Party, but that's their name, the Democrat Party. Frankly, they should probably change it because it does. And then I call them the Democratic Party. But the Democrat Party has never been farther outside the mainstream. Every major, that's a nasty fly.
Fly.
I don't like fly. Those suckers.
I don't they know landed about on
you
Obama.
New Mexico, but I'm not into flies or mosquitoes. I don't like snakes too much. We have plenty of them in New York and Washington, a different variety. I don't like snakes either.
Now you'll
we
see
got
how
a lot
many,
of snakes in Washington.
How many things
D.C.
he talks about that
we
we've addressed here on the show.
We got a lot of snakes in New York.
Here it comes.
I don't like either kind of snake. I think I like the kind on the ground better than the ones we have in Washington. Every major Democrat running for president supports a massive government takeover of health care that would destroy Medicare as we know it today. My administration will protect Medicare and defend your right to choose the plan and the doctor that is best for you. And we will always protect patients with pre-existing conditions. The Republicans will always do that. Our ambitious campaign to reduce the price of prescription drugs has produced the largest decline in drug prices in more than 50 years. You don't hear this because the fake news doesn't want to write about it. You know, sometimes I'll have a news conference about something that's so good, and I'll say, you know, I call my wife, First Lady, First Lady. People love our First Lady.
Who's that? People who jerked off to a porn?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Why did you see television tonight? We did something that was so great, whatever it may be. We did a lot of things. We did something so great, and it won't be on. But if there's something
that's
slightly negative, or even if it's good that they can turn negative, that's what they like best. Take something good and turn it negative.
Not even breaking
news. We have breaking news. We have breaking news.
Breaking news.
Oh, these are phony people, but that's okay. You know, when you think of it,
I'm president, and they're not.
What? There's the ego pump.
Crazy.
And people cheer this.
It's crazy. You know, sometimes I'll be in the Oval Office, and I'll be with my people. We have great people. And I'll say, you know, and it's great calm in the Oval Office. You don't like to hear about it because you don't hear about it too much. That's what, not what they, but we have great calm, considering it's pretty wild stuff going on in the world, right? But I'll be saying, you know, they don't treat us right. They don't treat us right. It's not fair. It's not this. And then I'll just sit back. I'll say, but we're in the Oval Office, and they're not. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. And when you have the Democrat Party and the press, the media, the lamestream media, the fake news, and they're partners. They are partners, okay? Remember the word manufactured? They used the word manufactured on something. Never been used for that thing. And every news goes, the manufactured crisis started. The next one, this crisis was manufactured. Every one of them used the word manufactured. They know what I'm talking about. Now, that's called collusion, folks. That's real collusion. No, you have that. And so you have the Democrats, you have the media, their partners. Then you have the deep state. We're getting rid of a lot of them. I'll tell you, we're finding them left and right. Boom. You take a look at what, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, you take a look at what we're doing with all of the things. I'm not going to get into detail, but you know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Clean the swamp. That's the ultimate cleaning of the swamp.
What? Clean the swamp?
Yeah, it used to be drain.
Yeah, what happened to drain the swamp?
And then I hate to say this, but we have some Republicans. They're not good. You call them a rhino. They're rhinos. Their rhinos are worse. And some of them are worse than the Obama people, right? They're worse than the Obama people. They're worse than the Clinton people. But there aren't too many of them left. They're pretty much on respirators. They're gasping. They're gasping for air. But we do have some bad people that you wouldn't believe.
John Bolton left. That's pretty cool.
I didn't hear you. What did you say? What? I didn't hear that.
QAnon.
Virtually every top Democrat also now supports late-term abortion, ripping babies straight from the mother's womb.
Oh, gotta touch
on abortion. Right up until the moment of birth.
Let's get our reaction.
And that's why I've asked Congress to prohibit extreme late-term abortion, because Republicans believe that every child
is
a sacred gift from God.
Can you have regular late-term abortion? Just ban the extreme ones?
Extreme late-term abortions.
Right? I see it.
That's his finishing move.
Just like Bob,
in the wrestling ring.
Yep, the extreme late-term
Democrats are now the party of high taxes, high crime, open borders, late-term abortion, and socialism.
Socialism. Wow.
The Republican Party is the party of the American worker, the American family, and it is the party of the American dream.
Gotta be asleep to believe it.
We've achieved record funding for the U.S. military. All of that money, trillions and trillions of dollars spent, all produced right here in the good old USA.
Like what?
The money was produced in the USA?
And I have to tell you, New Mexico, I know you're gonna like this. A lot of those trillions, because, you know, when you do the 716 and the 730 and the 700 billion, all of a sudden you're in trillions, and I can save a lot of lines when I just say trillions. A lot of that money is going to be spent in a state-of-the-art military equipment that's being used.
Oh, wow!
Holloman Air Force
New Mexico
base,
is so excited!
White Sands Missile Range.
Because you can only get a job there if you have clearance. And you set
Kirtland
the right fucking
Air Force Base.
We're going to space. We're going to Mars.
Woo! We're going, yeah.
And many other vital New Mexico military installations that are going up as we speak.
Space Force.
That's also jobs.
Yeah.
But more importantly than even jobs,
incredible. What you've done for the military in New Mexico is incredible, and we've remembered. But we're pouring a lot of money into New Mexico, and that means a lot of good things. And we're investing in our nation's nuclear security, including right here in New Mexico, and Sandia National Laboratories, and Los Alamos National Laboratories.
Los Alamos!
Wow! I remember the name of places because my agents told me.
To protect America's security, I withdrew the United States from the horrible, one-sided Iran nuclear deal. It was no good. And we impose the toughest ever sanctions on the Iranian regime.
Here we go.
Watch how that works out, folks.
This is another thing we talk about a lot right here.
I recognized Israel's true capital and opened the American embassy in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem's true capital, because the Bible matters more than reality.
And don't forget what I did for Israel with respect to Golan Heights. Don't forget, right?
Oh.
For years, you watched as your politicians apologize for America. Now you have a president who is standing up for America, and we are standing up for New Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Standing up for Saudi Arabia and Israel.
And you must never forget, get out there and vote and get ready and get everybody. We need it because we're fighting a lot of forces, including Facebook, I saw, and Google, I saw. Did you see Google? He said,
I saw.
I may have lost 2 million to 10 million votes, according to this character that worked at Google, right?
Fake news.
And we still won. How the hell did we win?
I think the fake news.
Everybody was against us. How did we win? How did we win? This is a Google executive.
So, Trump, 2020, around the corner. And here he comes, tromping his way up into fucking New Mexico, hanging out in the desert with all us assholes and fed us a bill of goods, as he does in every state. What do you think, Crafter? Am I off base on this?
No, you're dead on. It's like wrestling is the best analogy. It's like his WWE persona. It's just like go out there and, ooh, we're going to get him, and I got him before, and we're going to do better than ever before, and we did more money, and we got more money, and you got more money, and, oh, you should see the money. And it's just, it's ridiculous. He, the guy doesn't offer.
You get a car.
He doesn't offer real conversation. He doesn't offer even explanation of the smallest plans. Or remember what I did.
I can't tell you about it.
Yeah, remember it. And we got all those deep state people getting more and more deep state people every day. What? Who? When? What is this? What are you talking about? Why are you acting like this is just common knowledge? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, deep state people. And it feels like the deep state people are kind of falling off because they don't like him. You know,
but the mystery deep state people that cannot be named, those that shall not be named and never be exposed, but somehow you got them. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the only person I can think of really is John Bolton. John Bolton being the warmonger that was his Secretary of Defense. And I feel like he stepped down, and that was a move in the right direction as far as the country's concerned. I don't think that was Trump's fault. Maybe he's just so annoying. Not following the narrative of continuous war.
Yeah, but for such a hero that is getting rid of the deep state, how is he just removing them from government so they can retire with millions of dollars? How is that a positive move or a good thing? Like, they're going to, if it's true, they're just going to, you know, get back into government through other means. They're going to pay for candidates. They're going to pay for lobbyists. Like, you're not going to stop powerful people from interfering if that's what they choose to do. Like, I don't understand how he thinks, like, firing John Bolton and letting him retire with millions of dollars in his house gets rid of deep state or gets rid of warmongers.
Like, it doesn't.
He's still powerful and in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Expose his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. And that's the problem. And we see this across the board in all the fucking things, like from Trump side deals of nukes with Saudi Arabia to Jeffrey Epstein murking himself in a cell so that all of the secrets are never exposed and no one wants to fucking rat out the other. And the underlying corruption lays there to fester forever. You know, you see it in the nepotism of Hollywood and you see it in the nepotism of government. Fuck the government. I'm coming out official and saying it What say you, Crafter?
Yeah, fuck the government. Bullshit. They fucking want to lie to you. They don't want to fucking tell you how things really operate. They want to keep things secret for the sake of keeping themselves in power. Obviously, they've done something so bad, be it 9/11, JFK, MLK, deep state stuff. Who knows? They've done enough dirt that they know if they tell you the truth, it's fucking over.
Word. I totally agree with you, sir. Fucking... wow. Like a great couple of past episodes, man. I must say that this Palestine is straight. You know, Egypt is quite bisexual, and the gay is real, but what about Syria?
Yeah. Transsexual Syria.
Okay. What about, Iran?
Iran is big dicked.
Big dick.
I mean,
the big dick Iran.
Bad taste because they're Persian.
Is that something? Is that a thing?
Yeah, they like gold chains and purple curtains.
That's cool as shit. Fuck yeah. Alex Jones, if you're out there listening to us, fucking come on the show, bro. It'll be fun.
Shout out Alex Jones.
Shout out to Alex Jones for sure. And that begs the question, bro. You hang out with some douchebags, dude. Like fucking Logan Paul. Why can't you come fucking hang out with us, bro? It kind of hurts my feeling a little bit. You fucking hitting it hard tonight. Putting you out with a new track from that guy, Tyler Creator. Someone I'm not super into, but his jams, he's got a little bit of that soul going on. You'll appreciate it in the way out. If you haven't checked us out before, thank you for checking us out this time. We are verbose.xyz, the two-man crew. We're looking for a Gary if you want to join here and be our research monkey to do both the research and be researched upon. Hit us up in the comments. Reach out to us on our website for verbose.xyz. Check out our Discord. Blah, 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 yada, yada. The world's divided right now, but you don't need to be. Not in within yourself, not amongst your family, not amongst your friends. No matter if you disagree and things divide you apart, remember the base, you know, substrate that makes us all the same. We all exist on that, and we could come back to the level. Agree to disagree. Love your friends. Love your family. Be there for your neighbors. And yeah, fucking fun 32 for all y'all. It's not quite 23 because it's not a sacred number, but you know, either Shaquille O'Neal or fucking Magic Johnson, right? Big AIDS tonight. Again, appreciate you coming out. Check us out for verbose.xyz. Archive all the shows there. I know I've been fucking lazy as fuck and I haven't been uploading, but I will get to that point. Just moved into a place. The studio is looking good. You guys, things are going fucking amazing. Appreciate you guys checking us out tonight. Deuces, happy Wednesday, and we will see you next time. You invited me to breakfast. Why the fuck your ex here? Well, let's see if you round to God around this time next year. Motherfucking dangerous, you so motherfucking dangerous. You got me by my neck, so I start to think it's lame as fuck. Stay the fuck away from me.